The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
NordVPN.com/Fightful. How about this? 30-day money-back guarantee. 4 months free. Watch your favorite shows abroad, whether you're traveling or you're at home and you want to watch something from overseas. Access this on all of your devices, phone, laptop, desktop, PC, tablet, doesn't matter. 3 great tiers, a pass, a locker, a VPN, or all 3. Block annoying pop-up ads, block malware, block online trackers, keep your data safe, browse anonymously, browse securely with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Shield your data from snoops and criminals. You know I'm a snoop. I'm not a criminal, but I am a snoop. So unless you want me getting your scoops, get NordVPN.com/Fightful. Secure all of your devices. Check it out. It's a great deal. How can you afford to miss this? You're going to end up saving money with NordVPN.com/Fightful and having a better browsing experience.
Welcome back to another edition of Grapsody Interviews. And today we are joined by a man who is making his name all across the wrestling industry. You have seen him on AEW, seen him in MLW, seen him on New Japan Strong. You can see him anywhere wrestling is happening in your neck of the woods. He is the one and only Danny Limelight. What's up, Danny?
What's good, mi gente? How y'all doing, baby? Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you for being a part of this. Thank you for being on Grapsody Interviews. Love talking to pretty much anybody in the wrestling industry, but it's always great to talk to people who are in the process of getting their, I won't say feet wet, because you've gotten, I'd say we're well past that point, but really getting their name established, getting out there, getting getting booked, being on TV, being pretty much any place you can be, and we've seen that from you.
Yes, sir. Man, I heard a lot of good things about y'all, you know, and I'm glad we're doing this. But you're right. Yeah, I mean, I guess I kind of been dipping my feet in the water for a while now, but things have really been shaking up these last 2 years. So we'll see what happens, you know?
Right. Got a big match coming up, UWN championship match against Jordan Clearwater. What can people expect for this match?
Man, first of all, shout outs to the United Wrestling Network. That's actually my home company. You know, this is where I first started really wrestling at 7 years ago. I made my debut in 2015, November, so about this time. It was TV, my first time really wrestling. Well, my first time wrestling on TV, but my first time really wrestling in a professional environment. I had trained for a little bit on the indies, wasn't really getting booked. You know, got kicked out of my school that I was training at. The owner of the school told me I'd never wrestle again and kind of just like, try to like, you know, cut my legs from underneath me. And then, you know, David Marquez gave me a call, brought me to the United Wrestling Network. At the time, it was just Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. I came through those doors as a tag team. I've been hooking and jabbing and grinding ever since. You know, in this last year, it just took it to the next level, man. And now on, you know, December 11th in Irvine, you know, I'm going one-on-one with Jordan Clearwater. We got a 60-minute time limit. Clearwater has been champion for a little while now. He's taking down Colt Cabana. He's taking down Frankie Kazarian. He's taking down Carlito. He's taking down a bunch of guys, you know, that have done a lot of things in this industry for the last decade plus, you know. And this is a big one for me, man. It's the World Heavyweight Championship. It's my time to finally put Latinos on the map again. It's been a long time since we had a Latino world champion, any company. So this is my time, man. I've been grinding. I've been ready. I've been ready, you know, and now I finally get my hands on him and what people couldn't expect. They could expect Poppy to do what Poppy does best. Go out there, put on a show, and walk out champ.
That's definitely looking forward to that.
Yeah, we talked about championship wrestling from Hollywood. You're out in L.A. now. What decision did you make to want to wrestle over on the West Coast? What attracted you to the – because SoCal wrestling is – it never has stopped being a very hot market, I think, mm-hmm. you know, with our lucha background and the things that we do, like, it's a very hot market as always. So what made you make the decision to want to come over here and do most of your work out here on the West Coast?
You know, honestly, I didn't really make the decision. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what independent wrestling was.
Okay.
Growing up, I only knew WWE, like that, WWF at the time. Like, that's the only thing I knew when it came to wrestling. I had stopped watching wrestling right after Eddie Guerrero died. Mm-hmm. So I missed the part of wrestling where, you know, Daniel Bryan became the guy, where like CM Punk was the guy. I missed all of that. You know, I didn't know what Ring of Honor was. I didn't know what New Japan was. I think I had seen AAA wrestling one time at my grandma's house. I'm like, why are there like Spanish wrestlers, the Max? You know, like, I didn't know it. You know, as silly as it sounds, I didn't know it. And you know, I came to Cali because I was in the military. I was in the Marine Corps 10 years. And I was stationed out here. And I went to go see wrestling with my daughter's mom because she had never – I had bought The Rock's DVD. And I was had my daughter watching it with me, his, like, top 10 greatest matches. And my daughter's mom came into the room, and she was like, why is Dwayne Johnson wrestling? She had no idea that he was a wrestler before. I'm like, what? I'm like, that's The Rock. You know, he was a great actor. And so she said she had never watched it, you know. So I looked online, seeing that they were coming to San Diego. I bought tickets. I went. It was a little date night. And I ran to somebody there who was training to be a pro wrestler and asked me if I wanted to train to be a pro wrestler. I was like, how the hell you do that? You know, like, what are you talking about, bro? At the time, I was still in the Marine Corps. You know, I was about 160 pounds at most at the time. And I just thought that, you know, like, I imagined wrestlers getting drafted like the NBA draft to go to, like, I thought you had to like do wrestling in college and get scouted. Like, I didn't know there was this independent circuit like there are for independent rappers. But that's basically how he explained it to me. He said, it's an independent circuit for wrestling like there is for rappers. Right. And I'm like, well, all these SoundCloud rappers don't ever get signed. So like, at the time I was married, how am I going to convince my wife to let me do this shit, you know? And so I went home that night and I couldn't sleep. Like, I had the little itch. I'm like, man, is this possible? You know, like, I always wanted to do this as a kid. I'd practice all the moves on my sister and my little brother, you know? And I was like, I was stressing, you know? I wanted it. I wanted to try it, you know? Like, I'm very athletic as it was. I was in good shape. I was like, man, like, I think I could do this, you know? But I didn't know how to convince her to let me do it. And then I'm walking around the house, like in the middle of the night, stressed out, couldn't sleep. She wakes up. You know, at the time, my daughter was like 5 months or something like that. She's like, what are you doing? Who is she? And as I tell her, I was like, I can't sleep. She's like, you thinking about the wrestling? I was like, thinking about the wrestling. I was like, I'm going to try it. So my daughter's mom, you know, shout out to my daughter's mom. We're not together no more, but we have a really good relationship for my daughter. She actually paid for my first few months of wrestling training.
Wow, that's big.
So I started training. Then I get kicked out of my school. And I'm like, I guess, you know, this ain't going to work until Marquez called me, you know. And I went out there, and then I started wrestling a little bit more. And then I had took a break from, like, 2016 to 2018. Wow. The reason why I was West Coast wrestling was because I just happened to be out here.
Right.
But once I started learning about independent wrestling, I'm like, what? Samoa Joe's from SoCal, and he used to do this, and I learned about Ring of Honor, and then I learned about New Japan. I heard there was an LA dojo out here, and I met Rocky Romero at United Wrestling Network. That's where I first met Rocky, and then I was just learning so much, and I'm like, huh, like, there's a lot of rich history in wrestling on the West Coast, specifically Southern California.
Right.
You know, you can name a bunch. SCU, you know, John Cena. Like, there's so many guys, Samoa Joe. Well, you just keep spitting guys out who came from this area, you know. And then I look at people that worked at Championship Wrestling or United Wrestling Network before. You know, you had Cesaro or Claudio. You had Daniel Bryan here. You had, you know, all these guys who are now on TV making a lot of money that had came through, at some point, the Marquez system, you know. And I was like, so I'm in the right place, you know. I just got to figure out how to do it. You know, like at the time I was trying to do all the moves, you know, I was super athletic and agile. I was trying to do all this stuff to get noticed. And then I took a 2-year break because I went to go be a Marine Corps drone instructor. So I had stopped wrestling. And when I finished with that, I had dropped down to 135 pounds. Like I was so skinny. Wow. It was a stressful job. You know, you're go with recruits, nonstop training them, pushing through the system so they can become Marines, but you don't have time to eat for yourself. You don't have time to sleep, really. You know, it was very draining. So before I got back to the ring, I tried to get my weight back up to 160 at the very least. And then I got back into the ring. And the first place that I really started wrestling again was United Wrestling Network. I came back in, but I came this time as singles. So then 2019, I started, you know, doing some stuff. You know, I started getting flown out to the East Coast to wrestle for a lot of these East Coast companies. And then, you know, I did a couple of Evolve seminars, did a couple of Evolve little things. Then I got a match with Impact for the X Division title. And then I started doing a bunch of more stuff. And then Rocky Romero had hit me up for the LA Dojo tryout. And come out for the New Japan tryout. So I showed up. I did my thing. And then the pandemic happened. So there was like no wrestling happening. And then in 2020, towards the summertime, that's when Rocky called me and was like, hey, we're going to start doing this thing, but we're going to do it, you know, no fans, just studio style tapings. We want you to come down. And so that's when I went and made my debut at Lions Break Collision. I wrestled TJP, got my foot in the door at New Japan. Then it became New Japan Strong. It started like this own little show, which is fucking awesome. If nobody watches it, they should be watching New Japan Strong. Yep. Then United Wrestling started doing primetime lives, like little pay-per-views on Fight TV. And then that's when AEW hit me up, and I went out there, and I was with AEW for almost a year. You know, kind of was like a mainstay on giving somebody a reason to watch, you know, Elevation on Mondays and Dark on Tuesdays. You know, I was out there doing my thing, having all these crazy matches with all this amazing talent. Shout out to AEW for giving me the opportunity. And then after that, you know, I was still wrestling at New Japan Strong. I was still wrestling at United Wrestling Network. We formed a faction there called the Bodega, which was Bob Oesco and Slice Boogie and myself. Then me and Slice Boogie got signed to MLW, became the MLW World Tag Team Champs. Went to Puerto Rico, became the Tag Team Champs of Puerto Rico at IWA. Just kept grinding and grinding and grinding, doing my thing. And then United Wrestling Network, you know, that's, I knew that I wanted to be the face of the company. At the time, I would say I felt like I was already the face of the company. I just didn't have the flag, if you will. You know what I'm saying? Like, I felt like I was the uncrowned champion. You know, I had been carrying the company on my back through the pandemic. I'm going to stand on that. Whoever don't like it, that's they lying. You know, we definitely was doing something special there. And, you know, they had a world title tournament. I think the first champion crowned was Chris Dickinson, who then lost it to Jordan Clearwater. I had always been a heel, you know, a bad guy there at United Wrestling, my whole 7 years that I was there. Something happened over the spring, summertime this last year where the fans was just started cheering for me. And I don't know what it was. I had got screwed out of a title shot, the United Wrestling Network Heritage title. But I was still bad. You know, I was just being myself. And they just started really fucking with me, you know? I feel like they always did. Like, they always rocked with me. But it was just something. They just felt it. You know, they felt it. They saw in my face. They saw something. It's also because I stopped trying to do all these wrestling moves. And I started trying to really catch the audience and pull them in. You know, a lot of companies started giving me a microphone. Once they put the microphone in my hand, it was a wrap. Because I have a lot of shit to say. I could talk about for as long as we need to talk here today. And they just loved it, you know? And then New Japan started giving me a live mic in the ring. You know, MLW was giving me live mics in the ring. Everybody was just giving me a microphone, letting me say what I wanted to say. And as I was starting to climb back up the ranks with the crowd behind me, Clearwater was standing on top of the mountain, knocking down anybody they sent to him, you know? And then there was the Golden Opportunity Tournament. I won that, became number one contender. And now here we are, ready for the big fight in December. You know what I'm saying? Going into the new year with a bang.
So you said that a lot of guys were giving you the mic. I think some of that popularity started with MLW from at least how much I followed you. What happened there? Because I feel like 5150 was popping at one point, and then it just kind of abruptly stopped. So what happened there?
Honestly, bro, I couldn't tell you. Like, I felt like we had something special going on there. I had a great time at MLW. I think that they really, besides United Wrestling Network, always let me do promos, but never gave me a live mic in the ring. MLW, kind of like early on, realized that this shit right here was money. Right. It was like, just go out there and talk before your match. And I went out there, you know, and it was me, Conan, Slice Boogie, and Julia Smokes. And I think that's really where a lot of the, like, people started being like, oh, he's like, this guy's actually a personality too. Like, he's just not this guy who can do these moves and kind of, you know, because at AEW, they never gave me a mic. And I would ask all the time to do a promo before my match on Dark. I would ask for a little, you know, I would try, you know, it just wouldn't happen. So they only see me doing these cool things and having these cool matches. They never see me as a personality. They never seen like me be me. And so once MLW started giving me the microphone, you know, shit started popping. And I think where things kind of went downhill there was Conan got sick. He couldn't come. He had to get surgery. He had to go through, you know, his recovery process. Shout out to Conan that he's doing better now. Yeah. It kind of left me and Boogie and Julius by ourselves, which was fine because we could do it anyways, you know? And then Boogie had some personal things come up, so he had to go away. Then it was just me and Julia Smokes, and they were trying to figure out something. They had brought Homicide in one time. Then they started bringing Hernandez in, trying to keep it going. But it just started falling apart. And I told them, you know, like, let me do it by myself. If we can't get this 5150 thing to rock because of all these issues, let me go by myself. I was a singles wrestler before anything else, you know? And I just felt like there was just a timing thing where we couldn't, they didn't really have nothing for me. So, you know, luckily they took good care of me. They let me go. So thank you to Court Bauer for, you know, the opportunity that MLW gave me. I feel like it definitely did really start getting me out there as a personality. They allowed me to be myself. So I love that for them. I love them for that. And I kind of just kept going with it. I took what I was doing there, and I brought it to New Japan, and I brought it to United Wrestling. And then now, you know, that I'm a free agent.
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Agent, like, I could do whatever I want now, you know, like, I'm still Danny Limelight, you know, but now I got a live mic and I'm capable of saying whatever I want. You know, I say all the time, mic on, safety off.
So, well, you tweeted that earlier this year. That is absolutely the status. You are a free agent.
Yes.
Gotcha.
100% free agent.
That's so. Speaking of 5150 and the people that you were just talking about, you mentioned Homicide. You just had a very big match with Homicide. Mm-hmm. How was it to, first of all, have the interaction with him in MLW because he's such a veteran of the game and just a great guy? And how was the match against him?
Man, you guys gonna have to tune in. It drops this Saturday at New Japan Strong.
Yeah.
It was great, you know, meeting him for the first – that was the first time I had met him was at MLW. I had never met him before that. He was dope, man. Like, a lot of people give us a lot of comparisons because of the LAX 5150, right. His style, my style, Puerto Rican, New Yorkers. He was cool, man. It was good people. So was Hernandez. Hernandez was really good people, too. Got a lot of love for those guys. And it was just, you know, being in the ring with him, we kind of told a really good story in the sense of, you know, I'm Team Filthy. You know, before I was 5150, I was Team Filthy in New Japan. And, you know, he had a crazy match with Tom. He grabbed the fork, tried to fork Tom, and I pulled Tom out. We kind of told a little story. And then, you know, me and him had a banger that's going to drop this week. And it was – I was sore. I woke up very, very sore. Let's say that. I feel like I hit by a bus. But he's a great dude, man. I learned a lot from him. But – it ain't done. You know, he got his little one up on me. I low-key know he's a hater, though. I will say that. He's a hater. He's said that I'm a better-looking, charismatic version of him. That's what it is.
Gotcha.
So I'm definitely going to be seeing him soon in New Japan. I don't know when, but he better be ready.
Yeah, what's it like working with Tom Lawler, by the way? I mean,
the wrestling world does not deserve Tom Lawler. The wrestling world does not deserve Tom Lawler. I'm going to tell you something about Tom and the rest of Team Filthy. Jarrell Nelson, Royce Isaacs, JR Kratos. We're like a real band of brothers. Like, if I could describe Team Filthy, I would compare it to my life in the military, where it's just like a bunch of wild boys in the barracks going ape shit, you know, like just having a good ass time. And Tom, I used to watch Tom fight for real, MMA, you know, like I used to watch him beat the shit out of people. You know, and he was always a personality. He was, even before his fights, he would always do things that was like, he was a character, you know, like he just knew how to entertain. And you talk about people that come from the UFC and go to wrestling. And there's very few that, in my opinion, really make the transition. You know, you got guys like, you know, I would say Ronda Rousey is one of them that made the transition very well. I would say, Matt Riddle is one of them that made their transition. But I would also say Tom Lawler is there too. He's one of the best that transition, in my opinion. You know, you got Ken Shamrock from back in the day that did it. You know what I'm saying? And Tom, he's first of all, he loves wrestling. He loves professional wrestling. And with the Team Filthy thing, you know, I'm happy to be part of Team Filthy. You know, it's like I get to work and team with someone who's a dope-ass human being. And even with the West Coast Wrecking Crew, Jarrell and Royce, them dudes is dope. They're good wrestlers. They're fun to be around. And Kratos is a big monster. Dope to have by my side. You know what I'm saying? Then we always go out after the shows. We go to get some drinks. We go get food. Like, it's like this, you know? And this, to me, is important. It's important to have that unity, that brotherhood, that if you're going to do a team – whether it's tag team or a faction, you can tell when it's not there. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it's when it's like this, it shows on TV. It shows in the ring. And we have that, like, you know what I'm saying? So it's an honor, man. I really love teaming with Tom. I really love being part of Team Filthy. I turned on Rocky Romero to join Team Filthy. Fuck you, Rocky.
And so, not here. We love Rocky Romero, but
yeah. Everybody loves Rocky Romero. Not me.
Yes, we don't agree. We're all big Rocky Romero fans.
No, yeah, right? Rocky's the man.
Rocky's also mad. I'm the better, more charismatic version of him too. You mad at Homicide? Fuck both of them.
Yeah, no. Tom is definitely a character. Watching him do like his shtick at the crossover show last week and teaming up with Shuri and being part of such a historic show
and
is really cool.
He fucking loves those girls, by the way.
Yeah.
He loves that style of wrestling so much. So I know that to him, I know that was special. He's great, man. He is awesome.
I wanted to take a step back and ask you a little bit about, so you mentioned, give a little bit of a shout out to your time in AEW during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And you know, you mentioned Dark and Elevation. You're a big part of kind of the launch of Elevation. Elevation, yes, really was when that program first hit.
First ever match, baby.
You did. You were in the intro. They did a sit down with you. You and Paul White mm-hmm. really went into your background, military background, all of that. You even had a match, if I remember correctly. And I remember thinking it was a dope match. Ray Phoenix you faced.
Yep. That was on Dark. Yeah.
Yeah, that was on Dark. Okay, that wasn't on Elevation.
I had Konosuke Takeshita on Elevation.
That you did.
Moxley. I had a lot. Man, AEW did a lot for me. You guys still there?
Yeah, we got you. You cut out for a second.
Guys are like frozen on my screen. All right, cool. There you go. Yeah, man, AEW did a lot for me that they didn't have to do, you know? They took a kid who really didn't have nowhere to really wrestle besides New Japan. Not that that's not enough, but in the time of pandemic, a lot of the independent wrestling was shut down still, you know, at that time. People weren't wrestling. I had got out of the military and went full force into wrestling. So I needed to wrestle to be able to support my daughter, to live my life, you know. I didn't have a regular job. And, you know, I also want to thank Tony Khan because he saw something in me. All those guys did, you know. And that's why I was put in certain positions. That's why, you know, I felt like I had all the opportunities that I did to wrestle guys like Ray Phoenix, to wrestle guys like Matt Sydal. Dynamite debut against Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers. You know, I wrestled Kenny twice. I wrestled Konosuke Takeshita. That's probably my favorite match ever, by the way. And they did the interview with me. They gave me the time on camera to show the world who I am. And I'm forever grateful to them for that because I think that if there was no Danny Limelight during the pandemic at AEW, I don't think Danny Limelight would still be wrestling. I think I would have had to have found a job somewhere to be able to live in LA, first of all. And I think that they took a chance on the kid, and I had a lot of fun. I have a lot of respect for Tony Khan. He's a great, great person. A lot of those guys there are really dope people. And I really enjoyed myself. Man, I had some great matches. I had some great times. And, you know, I'm looking forward to whatever happens in the future.
What do you think happened there? I mean, it seems like, all this stuff, it seems like you're getting a good push. It seems like you could have transitioned onto the roster. What do you think happened there at the end?
It was my fault. I felt like I was still immature. There was still certain things that I was doing that I didn't quite understand business-wise or how I should be conducting myself. Because I like to party, you know, and it was the pandemic and I was still trying to go out and hit the club. I was doing shit that I shouldn't have been doing, you know. If I would have just rode that line, I would have been good. I would still be there if I didn't want to wild out and have fun and shit like that, you know. And just, gotcha. it was a professionalism thing. And, you know, it was in bad terms ending. Like, we had a great conversation with the people involved, you know. It's not like I'm banned for life, you know. It was just so, all right, you need to go and you need to, you know, do a little bit more growing up in the professional wrestling world before you could come back. And I respect them for that, because if they didn't call me out on my shit, it could have got worse probably, you know. So I was wilding out, bro. I was like,
In the streets, as Reg likes to say.
In the streets. Speaking of that, I was engaged the year before, you know, and my ex-fiance crushed me, you know, like really did some shit to me. And it was the year after, and I was like, I want to fucking have fun. You know, I had took a lot of time to try to heal and get myself back up. And once I felt good, and now I'm making good money at AEW, fuck yeah, I'm in the club. I'm in the streets now. Like, I want bottles of Hennessy on deck. You know, I want, you know what I'm saying? Like, and anybody that was following me during the pandemic, during that, I was in the club every night, it felt like.
I was following you. I saw your Instagram and your Twitter. Yeah. It was lit. I was like, yo, Limelight is outside. No,
I was the mayor of the streets, bro.
So, speaking of drinking brown as well, definitely saw you in the start of the Great Okan legendary run in Las Vegas.
I'm responsible for it, dog.
And watching you take shots with Great Okan and Emilio Sparks that night. And I think the clip at the end, you were like, so what do you think? And then it just felt like it just turned into a hangover montage where this guy was everywhere in Vegas having a time of his life.
Lit. He had never had Hennessy before that.
Really?
I hit Emilio Sparks up. I'm like, what did we do to this man?
Wow.
Yeah, definitely.
It was just like a coincidence that he was going to wild out, and it was just funny. Like, obviously, the one shot of Hennessy is not responsible for Great Okan being Great Okan.
Right.
But it was just perfect timing that the first time he takes a shot of Hennessy with me, then after that, he's in the streets doing the same shit that I was doing on my Instagram filter.
Because, I mean, I feel like that weekend is so legendary for Great Okan because, I mean, before that he was doing, like, the straightforward, like, kind of, like, mummy gimmick. And then now he's just, like, ladies' man Great Okan.
I love to see it, man.
That's
amazing. Shout out to United Empire. They're doing some pretty cool shit, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I don't know if you guys have anything else that you want to wrap this up.
Yeah, I mean, so pretty much, I guess the great question out there, given that you are a free agent, is
do that to me, huh?
Yeah, I have to ask. I mean, what's the goal? What is the I won't say the end game because nobody in professional wrestling knows exactly what that's going to be.
I know what the end game is. The end game is the highest paid actor in Hollywood, like The Rock. So that way somebody could be like, what is Daniel Rivera doing in a wrestling ring? Daniel Rivera, you know?
Right. Yeah, but I suppose, what do you see are the steps toward getting there?
I want to go to WWE, man. It's no disrespect to any other company. I've wrestled everywhere already. There's one place I haven't wrestled at, and that's where I wanted to be when I was a kid. You know, I think that's where I went. Where I found out about professional wrestling and how to become an independent wrestler was going to a WWE show. Of course, I'd love to go back to AEW. I'd love to go wrestle in Japan. I'd love to go do a run with Impact, you know, the X Division. I feel like I could really shake things up over there. But I think that 7-year-old me would want to wrestle in a WWE ring.
Respect. I do. Yeah, I get it. At the end of the day, that's what we all grew up with. That's I can say I'm a fan of every other professional wrestling thing out there, but you look behind me and it's, you know, yeah. WWE.
And it's not like I'm not saying one is better than the other. I'm not saying anything. I'm just who, like, everybody who became a professional wrestler wanted to wrestle at WrestleMania, you know, wanted to wrestle in Madison Square Garden, you know, like that's what I hear. That's what I dream about. You know, I dream about becoming a champion in Madison Square Garden at WrestleMania, you know, like that's the kid in me, you know, that wants to, okay, I've done the AEW, I've done the New Japan, I've done Impact for a match. If I could go back to any of those companies, I'll go give it 100%, obviously, like I'll go do my thing. But if you talk about where do I want, like, what's the finish line? I have to get there. I have to. Then I could say, I did what I wanted to do. I reached my goal. Yeah, I've done a lot. I'm grateful for it. There are some people who would never do half the stuff that I did in the short amount of time that I did it in. But I still haven't been there. I don't want the only time I was ever in a WWE locker room to be doing extra work, to be bringing Alexa Bliss coffee, or to be walking Goldberg to the ring as security. That can't be the only thing I ever do with that company. Like I need to wrestle there. You know, I need to have a picture with Triple H and he's fucking pointing at me. You know, like that, like, I need to wrestle guys like Ricochet. I need to wrestle people from the Bloodline. You know, like I need to wrestle Johnny Gargano. I need to wrestle, you know, those Melo. Like, there's so, I can just think of so many people that I haven't wrestled that are there that I want to wrestle. You know, yeah. I've wrestled Kenny Omega. I've wrestled John Moxley, Eddie Kingston, Konosuke Takeshita, Rey Fénix, Penta. You know, like if I had to stop right now and pick somebody else from AEW that I want to wrestle, the only person that would pop right now at the top of my head is Pac that I haven't wrestled. You know, I mean, obviously there are a lot of other guys there that I would want to wrestle, but just right now, off the top of my head, Pac, you know, Daniel Bryan is another one. Chris Jericho. Those would be the three that I would really, really want to wrestle right now. Impact, obviously, there's a lot of people that I've never wrestled before. But right, but like if you ask me where do I want to be, man, like I need to wrestle. I need to be there eventually at some point in my life before I'm done, before I'm in Hollywood. You know?
Hey, that I hope by the next time we talk to you here on Grapsity that we've, if not achieved some of those goals, we've at least inched a little bit closer.
Oh, yeah. Danny, and it starts December 11, baby.
It starts December 11. That's exactly what I was about to ask. Danny, anything you want to plug?
Yes. First of all, Will, Phillip, Righteous Regs, I appreciate y'all for having me on Grapsity with Fightful. You guys are dope. This was a really good time. Anybody listening, thank you for tuning in. Make sure you tune in every week to United Wrestling Network. Make sure you tune in to New Japan Strong. Make sure you're watching and supporting wrestling in general, whether it's AEW, whether it's Ring of Honor, Impact, WWE, whatever you watch, make sure you're tuning in, tapping in, supporting professional wrestling. You can follow me on all social media at Danny Limelight. December 11 at the Irvine Improv, Danny Limelight versus Jordan Clearwater for the United Wrestling Network World Heavyweight Championship. My boyhood dream about to come true.
That's so appreciate dope. Yep. Thank you for being here for another edition of Grapsity Interviews. I'm Will Washington. That's Philip Lindsay. That's Righteous Reg for our guest, Danny Limelight. We will see you next time. Have a great day. Peace.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.